Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then I had a chance to talk to pro angler and fishing guide Billy Rosner about spring fishing and a lot more. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side as a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV, with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models, and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and it's opening fishing season weekend.
It is finally time. It's time to get out on some open water.
You know, it was only a week ago we had some snow, though.
Yeah, and it's still melting in some places. Yep.
I think it'll be melting in some places at the end of the month, even as thick as it is, and try to stick something into it. It's like a solid piece of ice. But anyway, probably not a lot of fishing reports out there right now.
Not a whole lot, no. You know, with all the melt that we've had from all the snow, most rivers are up really, really high. Most of the lakes are just seeing ice off, you know, within the last week or so. So, no, haven't heard a whole lot yet.
I know the guys have been up on Lake Superior trolling, and they've been doing actually pretty good up there from what I've heard.
Yeah, we've seen some pictures that are coming back. So, yeah, they're catching a little bit of everything up there trolling right now.
Let's talk about fishing out there, getting out. A lot of people are going to be focusing on walleyes, and I think the walleyes are going to be done spawning, but they'll be just done spawning, I think.
Yep, just done spawning, and they're going to be looking for some food real fast.
Yeah, and the bigger fish, I predict, are going to be up shallow. They usually are, but I think they're going to stay shallow pretty much all month long because of the fact that they're done spawning and they're laying there kind of recuperating and looking for something to eat.
Yep. Yeah, and with ice out just going out, you know, that water's still going to be cooler, so nothing's going to be forcing them out too far other than boat traffic. But this is that perfect time of year where everybody wants to get up shallow and cast cranks for them. Slip bobbers and leeches might still be a little ways out, although we're getting a lot of requests for it here right now, but perfect time to get in there and catch some of those hungry walleyes post-spawn.
Jigging a minnow is going to probably be the ticket for the most part.
It really will be, you know, a jigging a fathead or a jigging a walleye sucker. That scent, it's got that, you know, nice profile down there. Definitely something that walleye's going to be looking to hit.
You know, and everybody thinks small all the time, and that's not necessarily. The walleye, a good-sized walleye, eat a pretty good-sized minnow this time of the year or bait.
Yeah, I mean, the past couple years, the baits that we've been throwing for walleyes up on shore, I mean, they're 4 to 6 inches long. You know, we're not moving them super fast, you know, because the water's still cold and those walleye are, they're not super aggressive right now, but yeah, we're using bigger baits.
And artificials, too. I mean, jerk baits, fishing up, it's things like Livingstons and X-Wraps and that stuff will produce walleyes really good this time of the year, and it gets some nice smallmouth, too.
Yeah, it's definitely those baits that you're going to be looking at that suspend in the water and can just sit there for a second, because a lot of times those walleye will either hit it on the paws or just as you're starting to move it again. So anything that you can find that's a suspending bait that you can get down near bottom, not on bottom, are great baits to use.
And you said to pause, and that's the key trick right there. We talked about it last week on the show, that pause, and sometimes an extended pause, it can sit there for quite a while, and the fish eyeballs it and decides to eat it.
Yeah, and it's something that's tough for a lot of newer anglers to adapt to, because most of the time when you're watching these guys fish on TV, you're used to seeing these guys, you know, rip, 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 and we're just not into that season yet where those walleye are that active. So, you know, if you're ripping it every, you know, 5 to 6 seconds, or even if you have to back off and pause longer, you know, let the fish tell you what the fish wants. You know, if you've got a cadence that isn't working for you and you've got somebody in the front of the boat that's throwing a bait somewhere, hey, use different cadences, you know, find out what's working. Same deal with size. You know, if you think you're fishing too big of a bait for the fish that are sitting there right now, you can always start big and you can go smaller. You know, go with an aggressive presentation at first, work your different speeds, and then start going with your finesse presentations.
You know, as far as walleye location early in the year like this, you know, a lot of people right away, they run the river. You go to Chippewa Flowage and there's a zillion people up in that river and that's where they go. And yes, there are walleyes around up there, but a lot of walleyes don't spawn in the river. They spawn on the lake itself.
They do. Yep. A lot of lakes around here, you know, those walleyes are looking for that nice rock to go up and spawn on. A lot of it on shore, but you know, in the past couple of years, we've been seeing a lot of those fish spawn in the main lakes.
And find warm water. Find the warmest temperature water within, especially if you got some fresh green weeds coming up. You're going to find fish.
And that'll be a little bit of everything, not just walleye. So, you know, if you've got warm water, you're going to be looking for the entire food chain and that, you know, wherever you've got the warmest water.
Pike action should be good, and that'll be about the same thing, too.
Yep, absolutely. You know, those pike are just going to be getting done spawning, too. Some of them you'll probably even see paired up once we finally get out onto open water. But yeah, those bigger jerk baits, you know, anywhere that there's nice water, those back bays that are, you know, mud bays where they're going to swim back and warm up during the day when we have those nice high sunny days, great spots to look for those fish.
You know, overlooked species of fish a lot of times is the bass right away early in May. They wait till later in the month, but the bass fishing for smallmouth in particular can be fantastic if you can find a pod of fish.
They're really good, and you know, we've had a late ice out this year, so wherever they were at the end of ice out, they're probably still going to be right there. And as we get warmer and warmer waters, they will move up shallow. But right now, they're still going to be bunched up out deep on a some kind of structure, like some bigger wood piles or some bigger rock piles out there. So, you know, if you can get out there and find one or two, you've found the whole school.
Yeah, and there again, you can fish live bait, but also suspending minnows. If you get a minnow down, if it's not terribly deep water, if you're in 10 feet of water, they'll come up a long ways after a bait a lot of times, even in that cold water.
They will. They're aggressive. You know, just get them to look, get, you know, get on top of them.
Yeah, no matter whether it's walleyes, crappies, smallmouth, don't be fishing under the fish. You want to stay over the top of them, let them see overhead and then come up after it. Let's talk about panfish. There'll be a bunch of guys going out after crappies and some bluegills.
Yep, there'll be a lot of people that are headed out for panfish, including myself. Crappies right away, you know, we just had ice out. They could be in a whole bunch of different spots depending on what lake you're fishing on. Some of the deeper lakes that we just had ice out, I mean, they could still be out roaming the basins, in which you're going to need to find those isolated pods of fish out roaming, you know, your 20, 30 feet of water. Some lakes that are ice out already and maybe got a little bit of sun, those fish might be starting to move up into that, you know, 6 to 12 feet of water. You know, you're going to be looking for any kind of old or new weed growth that's just kind of sitting there for structure. Nothing's going to be up too terribly shallow yet. You're going to have to sit out in a little bit deeper water. And the key here is just finding those fish, you know, moving a bobber along really, really slowly with a plastic or a crappie minnow or even a slow retrieve with some of those newer plastics.
Yeah, and the only exception to that is if you have a really extremely warm day, sometimes that'll shoot them up really shallow.
Yep, it will. On the horizon, I see a lot of those 60 degree days or what have you. We've got some clouds in there, so it doesn't look like anything that's going to be that big of a barn burner. So it looks like a slow move to the shallows for panfish for at least the first week and a half of the season.
You guys are pretty much equipped for everything for the shop right now. You got a big supply of soft plastics, live bait, everything.
Everything that you could be looking for to target whatever it is you're on the water for this weekend. Whether you're looking for bluegills or crappies, bass, you know, smallies, largies, or if you're out for walleyes in northern, we are well equipped.
And refreshments over on the other side.
Absolutely. You know, plan A is fishing. Plan B, if you don't do so well at fishing, is on the other side.
Okay. Well, Jared, thank you for taking the time here.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring their show to you every week. When we come back, we have a very interesting talk with pro angler and fishing guide Billy Rosner. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. Or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s, and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS, that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS, that's perfect for family fishing for up to six people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, we talk to fishing guides and pro anglers all the time here on the show, and the other day I had a chance to talk to Billy Rosner, who's a fishing guide and a pro angler, who just moved back into the area here, and I had a very interesting talk with him about fishing, spring fishing, and a lot more. We're talking to a pro fisherman and fishing guide from actually Hayward area here up by Minong, but he also fishes guides over in northern Minnesota and over toward the UP. We're talking to Billy Rosner. Good to have you on the show here, Billy.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about you a little bit. You came from a long line of fishing guides. I mean, it's something almost nobody can claim.
No, I'm a fourth generation guide from Land Lakes, Wisconsin. My great-grandfather, Sylvester Caskey, built the first resort on Lac Vie des Aires in 1920.
Wow. And, a lot of history there guiding, and you started guiding quite a few years ago. How old did you start guiding?
Oh, I was a teenager, you know, and yeah, I've been at it a long time, just like you, you know, a long time.
I didn't start till I was over 30 years old, so you got more years than I do, probably, even though you're a few years younger than me. But, you know, it's a lifestyle that not a lot of people can say they do.
No, and, you know, as you know, it's got its moments, but if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything. I love what I do, and it's a great life. It's probably not for everybody, but like you, you know, it's just it's in our blood, and it's what we do.
Well, you don't just fishing guide, too. I know you've kind of been involved with that Lund company, Lund Boats, and some of their TV programs that they do, and a bunch of filming with lenders and those people, too.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. You know, Lund's a great company to work with. I've been with them a lot of years, and Lund, they have their own TV show, the Lund Ultimate Fishing Experience, and I've shot with them quite a bit. Going to be doing another show with them in this coming June. And, you know, the whole Linder family, I'm very close with them. And fortunate, you know, I shoot a show with Al every year, every other year. And, yeah, it's all this, you know, fun stuff.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, part of the history of fishing, how much fishing has changed. I mean, in our lifetime, fishing has really evolved to just unbelievable differences.
It is. The biggest change, of course, is the technology with all the fish finding stuff, you know, the live scope stuff and everything, and side imaging. I mean, it's a whole different world. You know, they're just great tools to have, you know. And the thing I like to say is, you know, sometimes I think it kind of confuses people, but you know, fishing, you can keep fishing as simple as you want, or you can make it as complicated as you want.
You bet. And it's a learning experience. And, you know, you're talking about the technology. It's phenomenal how much stuff has changed as far as finding these fish and the mapping. I think even though the electronics has gotten so much better, I think the mapping we have now is probably the number one thing.
Right. Yep. The mapping, it makes it so much easier. You know, these new guides and new fishermen, they got it so much easier than we used to have it. I mean, now you can put in a Lake Master chip or Nyavonics chip, whatever you like to use, and you know, you can plug it in, you can do a bunch of homework before you even hit a new body of water. I mean, we used to have, you know, the paper maps and stuff, but yeah, it's come a long ways.
Piece of lead and a string to find how deep it was even.
Exactly. We used to have it marked on a white nylon anchor rope. We had paint every 10 feet, you know, and you'd line up off a point and you kind of knew where edge was somewhere, and that's the way we used to do it.
You know, I was fortunate. By the time I started guiding, I had been in sonar in the Navy, so I was really keen on the electronics, and I got into the original flashers and using the depth finders. And the biggest thing, again, I guess, though, was when we went to the GPS and then to the mapping.
Right. Yeah, it's come such a long ways. And like I said, you know, you can throw in one of those chips in with your mapping and stuff and waypoints. And it's come a long ways.
You know, in finding your spots, it used to be that we'd line up this bird bath with the outhouse or the pine tree or whatever and kind of triangulate stuff there. But when, and it's fortunate we got the GPS. Actually, it was Loran before that. But we're fortunate we got that because with the evolution of property ownership on the lakes up here, all the old cabins and landmarks got destroyed. So we had to relearn all our fishing spots over again.
Right, exactly. Waypoints, I mean, they're awesome. You look at my finder at the end of the season, it's like, holy cow, I put that many there might be 1,000 waypoints or more I put down some seasons, you know. It's just like, holy cow.
The fish have gotten smarter, though, too. I mean, our local biologist once said on the radio show here, it's almost like a little arms race. He said that anglers get smarter, the equipment gets more high-tech, but the fish get smarter.
Right, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, for example, I'm going to use Lake Vermilion, you know, 40,000 acres. You think, well, man, that's a lot of water. It is a lot of water, but the old adage, you know, 80, 90% of the fish live in 10% of the water.
It's true.
And it's very true. So, you know, with all these mapping and stuff, so you see more fishermen on these spots, and I see it all the time. You know, I'll be in there with myself or maybe one other boat, and you start getting more boats in there with all the pinging going on from electronics. Pretty soon everything shuts down. People disperse because they're not catching anything. Half hour later, magic. Fish start biting again.
You know, we were talking in here having breakfast about the capabilities of sonar. It does have some drawbacks that people don't understand, though, is that, you know, you mentioned the fish would go down on the bottom and sit there and they disappear from your sonar. And a lot of people don't realize that most of the time a fish is really tight to the bottom. You can't see them on your locator.
Right, exactly. Yep. See it quite often. You know, you get a soft, sticky bottom, you know, those fish will just hunker down and, you know, you could have the best electronics in the world, and it's not going to pick those fish up. But, you know, that's where the experience comes in. You know, those fish are still there, and you just, you know, they're going to come up off the bottom after some of those boats leave most of the time. And, yeah, they get educated.
Let's talk a little bit about the fishing, Billy. And I know we're coming up to the fishing season opener here. I don't know, you guide for a little everything or what?
Yeah, I'm multi-species. You know, everybody asks me what my favorite fish is to catch, and whatever is bending the rod is my favorite fish to catch.
Same here. You bet. One time it was all muskies, and I still enjoy muskie fishing, but you can fish for about everything. What do you think we're going to be seeing this year? I mean, we've had a pretty harsh winter, and you know, what do you think the fish will be doing with that?
Well, definitely they're going to be shallow, you know. They're going to be up shallow, you know. The crappies, you know, if you can get out in the afternoons when that sun gets a little higher and warms up some of those soft bottom bays, you know, that 2-3 degrees in temperature makes all the difference. The walleyes are going to, you know, everything's going to be shallow, whether it's, you know, walleye, bass, crappie, northerns, everything's just going to be shallow.
Talk about crappies here being shallow too. Is that one thing? They get pretty spooky in that shallow water.
Yeah, you got to be a little, you know, a little sneaky. You got to, you know, maybe, you know, go in there real slow with your trolling motor. You know, you just don't want to come rolling up in there, creating a lot of commotion. You got to be a little sneaky, you know, and that's where, you know, some of this new electronics, side imaging or something, you know, sneak in there, watch them off, watch that, and then you can just set up off of them, you know, to stay away from them so you don't spook them.
And, you know, let's talk walleye fishing. Walleyes, you know, a lot of guys think the walleyes will move deep right away, but usually the ones that move deep after spawn are the little males. The bigger fish tend to stay up shallow more, I think, for some reason.
Yep, I agree. They do. Yep, the smaller males are going to move out deeper. We see it all the time up on Vermilion. And those little nicer fish will stay in there. You know, they're just coming off of their spawning areas, kind of cruising. They're hungry, and they should stay on those flats. You know, they will until that water starts warming up a little more.
What is your favorite bait and presentation for those fish early in the year?
Myself, you know, your typical jig and a minnow. You know, go light if the conditions are right. I like a Lindy rig setup. You can slip bobber them. I like throwing light jigs with like a Kalen plastic or a Big Bite plastic. That works really well too.
You know, and I like to throw in the evenings, especially crankbaits. Most lakes, they respond really well to stick baits.
Yes. Yep. Like you said, you know, in the evening, that's a lot of fun just working a shoreline casting those crankbaits.
And, you know, when you're looking at the best times to be out there, anytime you're fishing is the time you want to be out there, but you actually see bite windows even early in the year. And that evening bite is always one people know about, but a lot of times there'll be a bite window sometime during the day, too.
Right, exactly. Yep, there can be a good bite during the day, too. Watch your moon phases and stuff, too, because there's something to be said about that.
You know, musky fishermen watch the moon rise and moon set a lot, you know, and we've, over the years, we've correlated musky action to a moon rise or moon set. Actually, the biggest musky ever taken off the Chippewa floors that I had taken in my boat was right during a moon set one time in early September. So it's effective for that, but walleyes are a predator too, and so are pike, but pike just definitely don't bite at night for some reason. But walleyes, a lot of other predators, bass, they seem to also be, you know, keyed in on moonrise, moonset, moon phases.
Exactly. I see it all the time. You know, I mean, it's being a guide, and you can relate to this. I mean, we're kind of weather junkies. You know, we like watching all this stuff, and, you know, when you figure it all out, you know, you don't quite figure it all out. Hope I never figure it all out, but it there's something to the whole puzzle. There really is.
Yeah, it's amazing. You spend enough time out on the water, and it's almost like you can smell a front coming.
Exactly. You can. You can just feel it. Yep.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Billy Rosner. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with pro angler and fishing guide Billy Rosner. And as far as pike fishing, you know, we got a lot of pike in lakes up here now that we didn't have. In fact, there were actually some proposals out there to increase the bag limit on a couple lakes to try to thin them out some. You know, bigger pike. How come we don't see the bigger pike we did? Is it strictly a harvest thing? I remember when I grew up as a kid, there were lots of 8 and 10 pound pike in lakes over in Minnesota, for instance. And then it went to where it was all them little hammer handles. And is it strictly a pressure thing?
It might be a pressure thing. It might be the body of water you're on, you know. I mean, I actually, you know, I got a few spots around this area here in northwest Wisconsin, where I catch some pretty decent pike, but then you go on other lakes and, you know, there are all those little hammer handles. And I think it's just maybe the body of water you're on, you know, and pressure. I think it all kind of comes together that way.
You know, they all eat good. And that's one thing we've tried to tell people, that pike are just as good eating as walleye. That just, you got to deal with the Y bones. But pike is a good table fare too.
Oh, man, they're actually, you know, one of my favorite fish to eat. They really are, you know. And I used to do a lot of shore lunches up in northern Minnesota years ago. And we'd catch some northerns and some walleyes. And, you know, a lot of people, you see a northern, they kind of put their nose in there. They just don't like the northerns because they don't know how to deal with the bones. They got a little protective slime on them. But I'd always fry the northerns first at my shore lunches. And people would start eating it and say, man, you can't beat this walleye. And I'd just smile and say, well, we haven't even got to the walleye yet.
A lot of things to catch them. I know spoons. We talked about spoons when we were in here having breakfast. You got a few tricks to catch pike that seem to work good.
Yeah. You know, we're a little older, but spoons, you know, they've been around forever. And everything kind of comes full circle in the fishing industry. So I love fishing spoons. When it's a tough pike bite, I'll cut that treble off and I'll put on like a number 2 or 3 aught. Single hook, and then I'll put like a 4-inch, 5-inch white Kalen grub on there, and you can cast that thing up into the bulrushes, the rice, the lily pads, stumps, and really work that out of there. It's snag free, and I catch a lot of pike on that. I catch muskies on it. I've caught some really big walleyes even on it.
Yeah, spoons are still effective and probably underutilized as a bait. A lot of people want to throw some of the newer crankbaits and stuff. One thing I found that's really good for pike is the larger swim bait sizes. I get up in the 5 and 6 inch paddle tail swim baits on a jig head or with a this big single hook with a weight underbelly on it. Those things seem to be effective. Pike will bite on almost anything, I think.
Yep, they will, you know, certain days. And then there's other days, too. I've seen, everybody thinks pike are so easy to catch, but I've seen other days where they'll shut down. And I think it's weather-related with the pressure and stuff. You'll go over, if you're in a clear lake, you can see the cabbage nice, and you'll look in the little pockets, and you'll see pike laying there. You can't even get them to move.
Well, a lot of times it's bait fish related, too. I remember one time I was out on Pokegama with one of the Glarvigans, and we were trolling some lead core line, and we were watching these over there. They got smelt in the lake, and we see these balls of smelt, and we're tight to the bottom. And he said that these fish aren't going to be very active till that balls of bait start coming up. And when that ball of bait started coming up in that water column, the pike started getting active.
Right. Yep. I've seen that too. That's exactly. Yeah. It's interesting.
A lot of interesting stuff here, Billy, talking about. I appreciate you taking the time to share some of this information with our listeners here. How does somebody get a hold of you as far as guiding and that stuff?
You can check out my website. It's wildcountryguideservice.com, and you'll get all my information on there for over here in northwest Wisconsin.
And I know you guide over on Vermilion too as well.
Yep, I spend a lot of time up on Vermilion just because I was up there for so many years. But I really enjoy this northwest Wisconsin area. I grew up over here doing a lot of trout fishing on the river here. And, you know, northwest Wisconsin here, this whole area here, I mean, it doesn't hold back seat to anybody. There's some really great fishing in this area.
Yeah, and most of our lakes are a little bit smaller. We have to deal with 5 and 6 foot waves.
Right, exactly. I mean, you can get away from people. I mean, there's so many different bodies of water to fish around here. It's really great multi-species fishing. And yeah, I'm happy to be back in this area and do some guiding over there. And I want to thank John for having me on today.
Well, thank you for coming on here, and we'll have you on here again.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNOradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.